What's up, Griff?
How you doing, Bill?
I am all good. Now, what is occupying your time right now? Football or basketball or both?
A little bit of both.
What's going on in football?
Well, Kirby completed his hires or announced his hires last week with Dan Lanning being the D coordinator and Glenn Schumann as the assistant DC. So that was kind of interesting to see how that worked out. And then the basketball team probably played their best game of the year Saturday against LSU, lost by 4. But LSU might be the best team in the SEC right now. I don't know. They won 14 out of their last 15. They got some guys that can jump out of the gym and a point guard that can move it. That's an impressive group that Will Wade has. I'll be interested to see how the SEC tournament in Nashville shakes out. It's going to be really entertaining. It's going to be a really good show.
I mention this all the time, but I'll just be a shill. Will Wade's a 6'1" guy. Went to Franklin Road Academy. He's a local guy. And he didn't even play college basketball, Griff. Went to Clemson, was kind of a student assistant when he was there, and then landed on Shaka Smart's staff at VCU. But it was also on Tommy Amaker. He also helped Tommy Amaker up there at Harvard. But he's a guy that I guess had an early vision to be a basketball coach and has done some big-time things, I guess.
No doubt. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, LSU basketball was, just awful. And you looked at it and said, man, the potential is there. And, we're seeing it now. Like I said, that LSU team I saw Saturday didn't commit a turnover in the second half, only had 8 in the game. And like I said, just their athleticism and size, and I mean, that is really an imposing basketball team. And they're really hot. Like I said, they won 14 out of 15, and the one loss was a 1-point loss to Arkansas on that stretch. So I think they're playing really good basketball right now. You look across the league, I mean, obviously Kentucky's good and Tennessee's really good. SEC basketball really has stepped up. I mean, it's been impressive. Certainly what Bruce Pearl's done at Auburn has been impressive as well.
What did you think about – did you get to watch that Tennessee-Kentucky game, or were you preoccupied?
It was on the same time as the game I was covering. I mean, I saw the highlights kind of – it looked like I didn't see it, but from everything I read and saw, it looked like, Kentucky just kind of bigfooted them a little bit and exposed Tennessee's, issues around the rim, which no one else had really been able to do. But, Kentucky's Kentucky, and Rupp Arena is a tough place to play. I've seen a lot of good Tennessee teams lose in Rupp Arena. I've seen a lot of good teams, period, lose in Rupp Arena. I mean, that's just a different kind of place to play. It feels like everything seems to be working against you from the time you go in there as a road team. So I don't read too much into that. I will say Tennessee's schedule, leaves some room for maybe some doubters. I think they're really good. I covered them. I know those guys. They work hard. They're hungry. They know they didn't achieve what they wanted last year. They left Dallas pretty upset that they got beat by Loyola Chicago. It turned out they would have had an easy road to the Final Four. You don't always get those kind of draws in the NCAA tournament, but they got Vandy. They get to come back and play the worst team in the league. So it's a convenient break. They should get back on track, I'd say.
On Twitter, Tennessee Insurance Dog, he's a big Georgia fan, lives up here in Franklin, says, it's a picture of Zeus, Zamir White, lifting. My question to you is, the freshman this last year, of course, hurt his knee and was out. What's his availability for spring? Is he going to be ready?
Don't know. Yeah, he looks great lifting weights. I don't know how it's going to be running. It's 2 years in a row. He's hurt. He's torn each ACL, left and right. So you just don't know till he gets out there. And I don't know, maybe that's why Kirby hasn't done any interviews. Maybe he doesn't know either, isn't ready to answer the question. But even if he was close, I'm thinking George is probably going to want to err on the side of caution and probably not put him through contact drills in the spring. I would say they probably are going to want to wait until fall drills. I mean, he injured it last August, and typical recovery, 10 months to a year physically. And then mentally, you wonder, how long does it take a guy to really get back? I remember when Robert Meacham played at Tennessee and injured his knee. He didn't look anything like himself the next year. But 2 years later, he was back to being a first-round NFL draft pick. So I know Georgia fans are eager and anxious, but those type of injuries are best not rushed.
Yeah, Nick Chubb went through it recently, too. down there. So, yeah, it seems like – does that happen more to running backs than any other position in football? Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you take a look. You got everybody diving at your legs on every play, and, you know, it's real easy when you're fighting for extra yards, you know, to twist and torque. And so, yeah, I mean, I would think, you know, that being kind of the explosive and dynamic nature of that position and combined with the level of contact that your legs get, yeah, I would say that probably would be there in linebacker, you know, would probably be the two where you'd be most apt to injure a knee.
Griff is with us, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution Dog Nation. Karen on Twitter has a question for you, Griff. It's off the beaten path. She wants to know, ranch or blue cheese on wings?
Don't do wings.
You're not a wings guy?
No, man. I'm a guy trying to stay healthy.
Wow. I figured you would. I mean, I'm not saying you're just going to go eat a McDonald's burger every day. I mean, you look like you're in good shape, but I mean, no wings at all?
No.
Wow.
I went through a phase about 6 years ago where I was on the hot wings, but I was in and out of that phase within about 6 or 8 months, and just, yeah, no, I try to avoid the fried foods, man.
Now, you're not totally vegan on us, are you?
No. I mean, yeah. Listen,
you're a carnivore. You're just taking it. You're just trying to be smart.
Yeah, I mean, in Athens, I can be picky. I mean, the amount of great restaurants here, it's like on par with Nashville, and it's not even close to being the same size. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how many people listening have been to Athens in the downtown, but if you're a foodie, I mean, it's just an amazing collection of restaurants and shops and bars, and I've never seen anything like this town. And so yeah, I can be picky. I can eat healthy and eat good at the same time, and, you know, walk. I live downtown. Like, I can walk 2 blocks and get any kind of food I want.
How close are you to the campus?
It's across the street.
Oh, you're that close. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's literally across the street.
My favorite Georgia campus story. I've got several, but probably it was 90. You were covering the Vols in 98, right? The national championship.
Yeah, that was my first year on the Tennessee beat.
Was that your first year, you said?
On the Tennessee, yeah.
Okay. So me and it's the Friday before the Saturday game in Athens. And Tennessee, if I remember, that year was a slight underdog. Georgia had a loaded roster.
Yeah, wasn't Quincy Carter the quarterback?
Correct.
He was.
Correct. I mean, a loaded roster. And the Vols still didn't have everybody totally believing, meaning the outside were looking in, even though they were obviously a good team. So we are in, and I don't remember which place it was, but we're in a restaurant downtown. It's me, Chris Lowe, and Brent Hubbs. And in walks a recruit with Rodney Garner. Rodney Garner had left Tennessee to join the Georgia staff, which is a really big deal because Rodney Garner is the one who was able to go get Deion Grant, Cozy Coleman, Jamal Lewis, that group.
Georgia kids.
Yeah, it was big in that. But anyways, he left, and he was now at Georgia. So Rodney walks in and sees us, comes up to our table, and he's got this monster recruit with him, Albert Haynesworth, all of 6'6", 300, as I'm, you know, going into his senior year.
Yeah.
And so we all sat there, me and Lowe and Hubber said, well, he ain't coming to Tennessee. he's already with Rodney here. And, of course, he did go to Tennessee,
the other game that he came to was the South Carolina game, and that was the game where T. Martin completed 23 straight passes.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
And that one was at South Carolina.
Yeah, and it set a Tennessee record.
Right. But that's one of my – that's I got a bunch of them, but that's probably my –
Yeah, I remember Haynesworth. He was – you know, he was the thing about him, and I don't remember where I heard it, but he was also like in the state 100-meter – I mean, he's an unbelievable athlete. You know, the sad part is you know, really – The Titans got the most out of him. But you look at his production at Tennessee, he really didn't do that much at Tennessee if you look at his numbers.
No, he was just a big, talented guy who could turn it on when he felt like it.
He played great against South Carolina. But if you look at his sack numbers, I'm not sure he even finished with double-digit sack numbers in his career at Tennessee.
See, I see him all the time now because his son in the middle of the season, transferred to the high school up here, Franklin. His son, literally after football season, the basketball coach told him that he owed him a bunch of laps because he wasn't with the basketball team, so he transferred to the high school where my kids go. So I see Albert. I see Albert nightly.
Yeah, no, he was an unbelievable NFL player. Like I said, the Titans and Jeff Fisher, I thought really, you know, I thought Albert played like a Hall of Famer a couple seasons in the NFL.
Griff, we will let you go, sir. See you next week.
Appreciate it.
There he is.